Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cecil Shorts jumping in with us for his weekly hour with us here on the show. First, Cecil, great job with Paul Gallant on Monday on President's Day.
Ah, thank you.
Enjoyed listening to you guys.
Thank you. That was fun. That was my first, I guess, daily show doing a full 4 hours.
4 hours. Were you bushed afterwards?
You know what? I was all right.
Okay.
I was kind of nervous coming in, but I was all right. I was good. I was excited.
Yeah, I was excited. No, you guys did a great job, man. Enjoyed listening to you guys. And that was, of course, this is an easy dive into what we're here to talk about. Mm-hmm. And among other things, we're going to get into a lot of stuff over the next few segments with these wide receivers that could be out there. The NFL Combine, we just got done talking with John Harris about that. So we want to get your thoughts on the Combine coming up as well. But we all know, and the headliner was the same on Monday when you were doing the show with Paul.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's
even more the headliner today because we're 2 days into the franchise tag period. Jadeveon Clowney. And there's been all this speculation now because of articles written and rumor and innuendo and so forth about Clowney behind the scenes. Why are the Texans looking at a franchise tag on him? And I think Rich and I both feel fortunate. We have a former teammate of Clowney sitting in here now, so you can shed some light on some of this stuff. So I guess we'll start in with, what was your initial reaction when you saw the line in the Peter King story about Clowney not being the worker bee that others on the defense are?
It really bothered me. I didn't like how, first of all, what does worker bee mean? Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out exactly
you don't want to go down that road.
Well, I heard Mike Meltzer this morning. Yes,
the Webster's Dictionary definition includes infertility. Right. And there's a Cushing joke in there somewhere, but I'm not going to make it.
Please don't.
But it didn't go well the first time I tried.
I just didn't like that. I played with him in 2015 and was with him in the offseason in 2016. His lady and my lady are good friends. Our sons go to the same school. So it was just hurtful, I guess, and it just confused. I understand how much work he put in. I understand that this is what happens. I think people compare J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. I think they just compare. You see what J.J. does, and you compare that to what Jadeveon is not doing. When in reality, they're exactly two different people with two different stories. JJ, underdog his whole life. Walked on to Wisconsin. I think started at Central Michigan or something like that. Walked on to Wisconsin. That long story. Turned out being successful, extremely hard worker. I mean, I've seen him work out 3 times a day in the offseason. I've seen him, you know, go over and beyond. The first guy there, last guy to leave, hardest working guy in between.
Go take a nap on that bed.
The whole night. I've seen athletic trainers go home with him and basically live with him to help him be able to play that Sunday. You know what I mean?
Watt you're talking about here.
Watt.
Yeah.
And then you look at Clowney, who was the exact opposite. He was basically the chosen one coming up. He was just very God-gifted.
God-given gifts like no one else.
Number one player in the country coming up. Number one draft pick coming out. And you get a lot of scrutiny when you're number one pick. You get a lot of eyes on you, probably more than what you should. And it's just to compare those two. If you compare them, yes, you'd be like, oh, he doesn't work as hard as JJ. He doesn't. 90% of the NFL probably doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the guys on the team probably don't.
Right. But is it fair for us to assume that two guys as well-connected as Peter King and Ian Rapoport, both referring to a work ethic that needs some work, means that someone in that Texans organization shares that concern?
Yes. I don't think it came out of nowhere. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So I believe, yes, somebody in that organization said something to either one of those guys. And they, you know, they got the information from somebody. They're well-connected. They've been doing it for a long time. This is no accident here. So I'm not surprised. It just bothers me because, in my opinion, that's what's happening, the comparison.
Yeah.
They want a guy, whoever it is, wants their Jadeveon to look and work a certain way. When, honestly, he might not have to work a certain way because he already has the talent that somebody else is working for.
Do you think his work ethic is sufficient?
It's sufficient, yes. Now, I'll be honest with you. Early on, I've seen some things where he needs to mature. But he came in the league, what, 20 years old, 21 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has that learning curve and learning how to be a pro. Everybody has that that curve just looks different and it's on different levels.
Well, and this kind of leads into my next question, Cecil. You were here in 2015, so you were with him in one of those seasons where he was dealing with injuries, not as many as his rookie year. His rookie year, he was when he had the microfracture, but you were with him the season coming off of the microfracture, the first season where he was able to play most of the season, didn't quite get to the productivity that he became, you know, that he hit the next 3 years. But what kind of worker did you see? Because I think what you were saying previously in your last answer was you can still have a great work ethic and not be J.J. Watt.
Absolutely.
Right? Like you said, most of the guys in the league don't work like that. What kind of worker did you see with Jadeveon Clowney?
Honestly, at first, he was very lazy.
Okay.
He was just lazy. And I think that rubbed Mike Vrabel the wrong way. It rubbed O'Brien the wrong way. And if you look at Vrabel in his career, he had to work hard to get where he was. So he sees this guy, and O'Brien sees this guy. Like, he has so much talent. He has so much everything. Like, the world is in front of him, and he's not taking advantage of it. So as a coach, I think that's frustrating to see. And he was, like I said, to be honest, he was lazy. He was late to certain training room sessions when he was dealing with whatever he was. I can't remember what injury was at the time. Might have been still with the knee and other stuff. Back, he was late to it. He would argue with athletic trainers. He would argue with different staff. But he matured as the year went on. Right. If you look at a 21-year-old that just got thrown $25 million, that's been given everything his whole life, and this is the first time he's dealing with adversity in the sport that he's so good at, it took a toll on him. It really did. And you saw the growth through that year. Beginning of the year, I'm like, come on, dude. And I've talked to him. Brian Cushion is talking to him. JJ is talking to him. Other leaders on the team that are higher up are talking to him. And I think that helped develop him and help push him, like, okay, I got to get myself together. Because honestly, physically talented, he's better than JJ.
So the question at this point that remains unanswered, I don't think they're ever going to address it publicly for sure, is to what extent, if any, does Texans management still feel as if there are still strides to be made for him to fully reach his potential? And that leads me to the question, which really speaks to what you consider his value to this franchise to be. You know, they can tag him and trade him if they want to. What would if you were Brian Gain, what would be a higher priority? Exploring that possibility or doing everything humanly possible to find a way to keep this guy here as long as possible?
Maybe I'm biased, but I think keeping him no matter what the situation is. To me, it's not even on the table. I'm not even looking at it. I want him back with the Texans. I think him and JJ, Duke, Whitney, all those guys, I think you can develop that and that can be something special. Kareem Jackson said something very interesting. I guess on Radio Row, how the window is closing for the defense. And I think if you get rid of JJ, it's going to close a lot faster, a whole lot faster. I mean, not JJ.
You mean Clowney.
Clowney. Yeah.
I apologize. Get rid of Clowney. It's going to close a whole JJ. Lot faster. Or JJ.
Either one.
Definitely not both.
Yeah.
But me personally, I wouldn't even look at it. But Brian Gain, him being a good GM, I'm just a Madden general manager.
Right.
You know, I'm pretty sure he's going to look at the whole situation, do what's best for the team.
Do you think Jadeveon Clowney loves football?
Oh, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. I've been in the position myself where I stopped loving football.
Mm-hmm.
And your whole attitude changes. Your whole mindset changes. And you kind of go through the motions. I was still a good teammate. I was still giving my best effort. But it wasn't like I started not to care about certain things. If I don't get certain reps in practice, I should get upset. Hey, coach, why am I getting this rep? Let me get in. It was just, okay.
You kind of resigned. Is it an apathy that sets in, maybe?
Yes, that's a good word.
A flavor of apathy, I guess.
Yes, because when I left here in 2016, actually, and went to Tampa, I was a little frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of thought I was going to make the team, and then I'm like, okay, do I really want to play again? I kind of lost the love of it. The business side kind of took over for me. So I felt that. Now, I've seen Jadeveon. He loves the game. He's laughing. He's joking. He gives his best out there. He's talking trash on the sideline when he's not even dressed for the game. I mean, stuff like that you don't do if you don't love the game.
Right. You keep a distance the next time he does that. We don't need him getting penalties on the side.
Well, and on a long list of unanswered questions is what he's looking for financially. Knowing him as you do, what's your best hunch on what his demands might be? Do you think he might be looking for a Mac or Donald type contract?
Oh, absolutely. He wants as close to it as possible. I think he understands it's all about timing. And I think he understands he probably won't get the Mac or the Donald exact contract, but he wants as close and as much guaranteed money as he possibly can.
Yeah.
Donald, what was Donald, 60-something?
Oh, no, Donald got, I think, 90 million guaranteed.
90 million guaranteed?
One was 86, the other was 90.
Yeah.
So in my eyes, he wants, in having conversations, he wants as much as he can. He, you know, anybody wants as much as they can get, right?
Yeah.
And he wants as close as that because he feels like he's that type of caliber guy. Now, to be fair, those guys, I mean, pass rushing ability, numbers-wise, mm-hmm. they're out there. I mean, what, I don't have, what, 20 sacks this year, 20 and a half, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. Mac was closer to Clem. Mac had 12 and a half.
Donald's the new right. J.J. Watt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's won the Defensive Player of the Year award 2 years in a row.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. I guess so. But, I mean, the opportunity, not the opportunity, but the way he infects the run game is amazing. He's just Clowney is a disruptor in everything he does on defense.
What percentage of his potential do you think he's hit so far? Like, wow. What do you think his ceiling? I mean, obviously, he was a number one overall pick, so he came in with that sort of generational buzz. But just from your observation, from you watching him as well, I mean, you watch every snap of the season, obviously, doing the postgame show. How much more feasibly do you think Texan fans could expect him to grow?
You know what? We always said when Clowney figures out how good he is, everybody will know. Like, we just watch him in practice and be in awe sometimes. Like, he has no idea how good he is.
Do you still see that player?
I still see that player. I say he still has about a good 20-25% more he could just figure out and do. And in those areas, I think he's already awesome, but I think the ceiling, the upside is pretty high, and he can be a very special player.
Good stuff. Cecil Shorts in with us till 5 o'clock. Coming up next, the combine starts next week. What's it like being a Division III player going to a combine full of guys playing in Power 5 conferences? We'll get it firsthand from Cecil Shorts coming up next. You're listening to the Triple Threat. Cecil Shorts in with us here until 5 o'clock. So the NFL combine is coming up next week. What was it like for you walking into that? By the way, that fight song we just played is the Mountain Union fight song, and they're like the Alabama of Division III.
There you go.
How many national championships did you win at Mountain Union?
I won 2. Okay. I've been every year I was there.
Okay.
And we've been, I guess, 13 out of the last 14 years. Wow.
So when you went to the combine, was there any degree of, let me put it this way, was there any degree of intimidation for you as a D3 guy going into a room full of mostly Division I guys? Was there an intimidation level, or did you go in with a chip on your shoulder, ready to prove something to people, or both?
It was both. I was ready to prove something. I was excited for the opportunity, but at the same time, like when you go to Division III school, you play like at noon, and then you wait for like the Ohio State game to come on. So I was a huge Ohio State fan, so I'm rooting for all the guys there, cheering those guys on. You watching, you know, Auburn because Cam Newton was playing then, and I'm watching those guys. So, you know, we're betting on the game, push-ups, and all types of stuff. So they're viewed as, like, pros to us because we're Division III. Like, nobody comes to our games. Really.
Did you ask for any autographs?
Sure.
I didn't, but I was watching a lot. I did people watch a whole lot at the
combine. I went to a school with a Division III football program. We won the Stag Bowl when I was there.
Really?
Wow. Yes, which, but for those who don't know.
Which is everybody.
Is the Division III national championship.
Yes, oh, is that
yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Stag Bowl, baby.
So you and
Amos
Cecil
Alonzo.
Both know. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there it is. So it was crazy because you see guys on TV, and then you got to think Division III, it's more of like love of the game type. You know what I mean? Because basically you're paying to go to school. You're just, you know, you love your teammates. You're playing for the love of the game because there's nothing that's, I want to say, it's good football. It's bigger than high school, but it's not the level of competitive play like Division I.
Despite that sort of kid in the candy store mentality you're describing right now, how confident were you that you belonged there?
It was no doubt in my mind. I knew I could play. It was a battle for myself. So, like, I know I can play. I know I can catch any ball out there. I know I can run fast. I know I can run good routes. It was just a matter of doing it in that setting. And that helped me build confidence. Like, so it's a funny story. So, in college, my last 2 years was, to be humble, it was very easy for me. I worked extremely hard to get the opportunity to play receiver because of the guy named Pierre Garçon, who's
we've heard of him.
Plays pretty well and does, you know, I think 12-year career.
He came
right
before
now.
You at Mount Union. For
he
those
came
who
before
don't
me
know,
at
yeah.
Mount Union. So I sat behind him. He graduated, got drafted. And then the next 3 years, I played receiver. I mean, my first year, I had like 1,700 yards, not 1,000. 1,700 yards, 23 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, 1,500 yards, 27 total touchdowns. It was just like, and we don't play, if you know anything about Mount Union, we don't play fourth quarters. So our games are done midway through the third. At halftime, it's done, and we'll play midway through the third, and then we'll run the ball the rest of the
game. So you really are like Alabama. It's over by then.
It's ridiculous. We kill teams. Yeah. So going into the game, I'm going to the combine, you know, I thought I was fast. I was All-American in track. I'm running by all these guys. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to kill it. So I'm training out in California, and I'm super excited because I feel like I'm super fast compared to the Division III guys. So I'm out there running, and my trainer's hyping me up like, yeah, you probably can get in the 4.4, 4.3 range. So my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm good. So I'm walking around the combine. If you know anything about the combine, it's days. So they wake you up like at 5 and 4 in the morning for a piss test just to randomly do it and say, hey, get here early. It's from 4 to 6. Come here, piss, blah, blah, blah.
Well, this is the most likely time of day when you'd be able to comply.
So guys are chugging water, all types of stuff. You'd be surprised the type of stuff you hear. And then how they try to borrow each other's piss and the whole nine. Oh,
really?
It gets serious. It gets serious.
So there's like a marketplace.
Oh yeah. It was even discussed like about I don't know if I want to say it because B-Mac is gonna run it back. It was discussed how they use fake private parts. Used before fake private
the
parts.
Wizenator. Yeah,
like the Wizenator.
Ontario
yes.
Smith.
Yeah,
the Wizenator.
It was used before. It was right? Before at combine.
Yeah, that's right. Ontario
Smith. So it was all types of stuff going on. But so you got like the piss test and then you meet with different scouts and teams throughout the week. So I'm meeting with different teams. I'm like, yeah. They're like, how fast are you? I'm like, I'm a 4.3. I'm 4.3 no matter what. I'm 4.3. I'm going to hit it no matter what. Like, you sure? The tape, I don't know. I'm like, no, I'm 4.3. I'm telling you. I ran track. I'm All-American. I'm this and that. And I get out there, and my first 40 was 4.62 or something like that.
Oh, dude.
For those who don't know, that ain't good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, ooh, and I knew I didn't feel fast. I'm like, what is going on? And I came in heavy. I came in like 10 pounds heavy. I was really big on just trying to lift and look a part.
Right.
And I was like 210, I think, at the combine, which is way over my playing weight. And my first 40 was like 4.62 or something. I'm like, oh, no. I started panicking. I'm like, I got to run for my life on this next 40. And you got to remember, like, it's Jerry Jones in the stands. For a Division III guy, for anybody really, but for a Division III guy,
yeah.
I look up, I see Jerry Jones, I see Mike Tomlin, I see all these guys. I'm
as
like,
you watch on TV.
I'm like, oh, and I watch the combine every single year, faithfully. I'll skip class to go watch the combine. And I'm sitting there at the line, and it's the guy from the Pittsburgh Steelers who always does the 40 starts. So my second time, I'm like, I got to go. So I just took all form out. I'm just like, I'm just going to run like the police is chasing me or just run like a dog is chasing me. I'm out of here. And I end up running like a low 4.5, and so they average it out or whatever. But at my pro day, I ran faster. But yeah, it was definitely a good experience.
So back to the Wizenator for a moment. just a couple of quick questions. We know about the Wizenator from Ontario Smith. What we've heard and read is that they come in different skin tones, so that so that you're better able to pull it off. No pun intended. What I want to know is, do they come in sizes?
I have no idea. I've never used it. It was just a conversation that was going on.
Did you ever see one?
I never saw one.
Okay.
I never saw one. But there was some conversations going on in that. It's like a hallway you wait in. And you just wait. You got to sign in or so, whatever you do. And guys were trying to, like, figure. They were, like, panicking, trying to, like, hey, I'll give you, you know, $500. You pee for me right now.
Or, wow.
You do this, you do that. I'm like, how am I going to do it if you got to pee in front of somebody? You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, it's just difficult, like, to right. figure it out.
Which is why I was always fascinated by the Wizenator, because somebody's in there with you. You're
somebody's
having to pull off
with you.
Sort of literally sleight of hand yeah. to pull that off.
Depending who it is, they'll look at you the whole time and not be, like, you know, nervous, anything, to make sure you know it's you.
And do I remember right, Ontario Smith got caught because he at the airport?
Was at the airport. It was at the airport, yeah.
So now that's embarrassing.
You were the 2011 draft class, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Tebow was 2010. See, I feel like Tim Tebow could have scalped his piss. I feel like Tebow could have sold his, like, by the cup for, like, $1,000. Like, if anybody's pee is going to be clean,
it'll be Tebow.
It's God's child, Tim Tebow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Out behind the building, or would they keep you guys in dorms or something like that, or hotels while you were there?
We were in hotels.
Like, because downtown Indianapolis, so
yeah,
you're at a hotel.
It was set up nice. You go in a room, and who was my roommate? It was actually a USC receiver. Oh, man. He was really good from Michigan. I can't think of his name. He had a decent career at USC as well.
Really?
Yeah, he had a decent career at USC.
I'll go back and
I just can't think of his name. I think he was drafted like fifth or sixth round by the 49ers that year.
Okay.
And he didn't last too long, but he had a good career at USC.
So with the combine coming up next week, Rich and I were talking about this yesterday. I'm curious your thoughts on it from someone who's been through it before. Obviously, as a wide receiver, not as a quarterback. What would your recommendation be to Kyler Murray going into the combine in terms of what you would recommend he do and maybe not do? Maybe save for his pro day or don't save anything for his pro day. If you were advising Kyler Murray, what would you tell him?
It depends. I got to see what type of guy he is. If he's a competitor, I'll let him go out there and compete.
Okay.
If he's a guy that's more precise, I'll let him do everything but throw. Because when you're throwing to receivers, you had no idea how they run routes, how things go. Like, for example, I was running routes with Cam Newton, and he never threw to me, and I never caught with him. You know what I mean? I caught everything thrown his way, or that they threw my way, but that's difficult to do. When you're used to throwing to certain receivers all year long, and then this comes into play where you got to throw to random guys who might not run good routes or run routes a little differently than how you are used to, you know, that could hurt you, make you look bad or worse than what you have looked on film.
So that's not an overrated thing, the whole chemistry with the receivers and quarterbacks versus, say, a pro day.
Not at all, because, I mean, you don't want anything to be taken away. It's like right now, Kyler Murray is probably, what, top 10, 15 pick?
I would say top 15 for sure.
Yeah,
if he goes there and expects a guy to run a route a certain way and he releases it early and a guy doesn't run it that way, it's going to make him look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that can hurt his stock. So if I was him, I'll just run the 40. I'll do all the physical tool stuff and do all the meetings with the scouts and the coaches, but I just wouldn't throw. It's not worth it, in my opinion. Go to your pro day, throw to the guys that you know you can throw to, look great, set it up perfect, because you have a script at the pro day, right? You have a script, and then pull out all the bells and whistles and just look good from there.
Yep. All right, we have another segment to do with Cecil Shorts. A nice long one here, so we'll get into a couple of things. Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr., two of the four or five most talented wide receivers in the league, who are also two of the most mercurial personalities in the league as well. How would Cecil Shorts be handling, if he were the teams involved, how would he be handling the Brown and Beckham situations and maybe even mix in how we think the Texans should or should not be looking at either of those guys? And the same thing you did last week, Cecil, I want to do again this week, except with running backs. You put together a great list of wide receivers, not top five free agents, but the top five free agents that are a fit for the Texans.
Yep.
So the top five running backs that would be a good fit for the Texans in free agency. We'll do that as well as we do a nice long segment here with Cecil Shorts leading up to 5 o'clock. You're listening to the Triple Threat. All right, we're going to get to Cecil Shorts' thoughts on Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., top five free agent running backs he sees fitting in with the Texans. We're going to get to all that. However, text message, Ronald Johnson. Was he the USC wide receiver that you roomed with?
He was.
Is he a good dude?
He was a really good dude.
Was he?
He was really nice, honestly.
Okay. He didn't look down on you because he went to USC and you were a D3 guy?
He talked a lot, but he didn't look down at all.
He talked a lot?
He was cool. Yeah, he was a talkative guy.
His roommate. He won't shut the hell up.
He was a talkative guy, but he was super cool, though.
Based on what Sean found out about his NFL career or lack thereof, he might have been too nice.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Or Cecil planted something in his coffee at the combine. He was drafted in the sixth round by the 49ers, as you said.
Yeah.
Never played a game in the league.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
I thought he played a little bit. Maybe it was preseason, but yeah.
All right. It has his combine measurements. He actually ran like a 4.43 at the combine. I didn't realize the Pro Football Reference pages have the combine stats for every player in it here.
No, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. I'm looking at Cecil Shorts' combine stats. I told you you're 40.
Yeah.
I told you you're 40 times, so we could cheat on that one if we want to, but but it was less than you thought it was. You ran faster than you thought you did.
Yeah, it
4.50.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
4.50.
Heck yeah.
Because in that moment, I'm like, oh, I was panicking.
Okay, there's
so it's like the Olympics. They threw out the 4.6.
Especially after I said I'm going to run 4.3.
I told
the Eagles, Patriots, and Cowboys I'm going to run 4.3.
Three of the blue blood franchises in the league.
And you never played for any of those teams,
I never
right?
played for any one of those teams. Never called. Funny. Never did. Not at all.
Classic. All right, let's see how well Cecil Shorts knows Cecil Shorts. How many times do you think you bench pressed 225?
It was pretty good. I think it was 21.
Who's 21? Yeah.
Okay, good.
That's really good for a wide receiver.
I could see why you'd remember that. That's kicking some ass.
I was pumped
for
up
dude
about
your
it.
Size. Yeah.
I was pumped up about it.
Yeah. Well, I would hope so because you said you put on weight from weightlifting.
I put on too much weight.
Like, if you had a slow 40 and a crappy bench, then whoever was training you needs to be fired.
All right. What you lost in the 40, you made up for.
That's
in the
right.
There you go. There you go.
They measure the broad jump in inches. I would have no idea how to even guess, even if I did this drill.
Yeah.
Do you want me to just tell you?
Yeah.
114 inches in the broad jump.
I was at like 9.7.
It's almost 10 feet. 9.5 feet.
9.5, okay.
Yeah, 9.5.
You
should
have seen Julio do it. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah?
It was incredible.
Like 214 inches.
Yeah, it was incredible. He had dreads then. He just jumped like over every line. It was like a...
That's crazy.
It was crazy how far he was jumping. It was
he's a freak.
He's a freak.
He's definitely a freak.
Do you remember your shuttle time? It's measured in seconds, obviously, but...
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Rich and I have been 4.2 maybe?
4.07.
Oh, that's pretty
good.
Yeah,
so you came in over on that one. So I have two more. You were a better athlete in the combine than you remember, it sounds like.
Apparently.
What about the three-cone drill?
Oh, I don't know. I think that's, I'll guess, 7.0.
6.5 seconds.
6.5.
Yeah, 6.5.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good.
Vertical leap.
32, 33.
34 and a half.
Are you intentionally underselling yourself on your guesses here?
That's a real lag.
Well, I said the words vertical.
Maybe I'm going how I feel right now.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's not what would you get now, Cecil. Right, it's what you got when you were nice and spry and 22 years old.
I do remember my agent was very high on everything else I did besides the 40. He said he had a really good day besides, you know, we didn't run it like he wanted to, but yeah, everything else was pretty solid.
40 wasn't terrible either, I would say.
It wasn't.
4.5, that's not too bad.
I would take it.
So on the bench, it's we. On the 40, it's you.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
You messed up the 40. We did awesome on the bench.
Cecil Short's in with us here. We will get to the Texans running back position in his top five potential best fit free agents in just a little bit. Two marquee wide receivers out there, Cecil, that are at, I would say, varying degrees of pissativity with their I've already used it twice on the show today. with their respective franchises. I don't think things are nearly at the level that they are with Antonio Brown and the Steelers, with Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants. However, let's start with Brown and the Steelers. He sat down with Art Rooney, third or the second, one of the Rooneys, yesterday.
Second,
and they said, we're going to try to trade you, but they're not going to let him or Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, talk to any teams out there. How intently do you think the Steelers are trying to move Antonio Brown right now?
I think they're fed up. I think it's unrepairable at this point. And then, honestly, I think they're fed up with all drama. If you look at what happened with Le'Veon Bell today, they're not going to tag him. They're just going to let him go.
Right.
So I think they're to the point like, listen, let's just fully move on from this and work with what we got. And they got some good guys in what they have as far as Connor and Juju, comparing those guys to Le'Veon and Antonio. But to me, Antonio has made it clear. He did everything he possibly can to get out of town.
Right.
He's done everything he can to get out of town. And if I'm a teammate, I kind of feel like I'm disappointed in him. But at the same time, if I'm a new teammate, whatever team he's going to, I'm excited for him to come in. But at the same time, I'm kind of cautious.
Yeah.
I'm just cautious on what can happen. If it goes well, everything will be fine.
Well, it's a classic question, right? With an elite player who brings baggage. We've asked it many times before in many other cases.
Yeah.
And the question is what I think you just alluded to, and that is how much has the sideshow impacted not only his the attractiveness of him to another team,
yeah,
but what the Steelers might get in return for him on the trade market.
So honestly, I don't think his stock took that big of a hit because it's not on him. It's more the Steelers trying to get rid of him.
Okay.
Right? So if I'm Antonio Brown, I'm thinking like, well, I can do what I want because somebody's going to give me a shot no matter what. Somebody will trade for me. It might be less attractive for the Steelers to get. They might not get a 2 first-rounders. They might get a second and a third, or they might get, you know, a third and a fourth, whatever the case may be. But for Antonio, if he goes to, say, the 49ers and balls out, all is well. He'll get another contract.
Yeah.
He gets his 100 balls this year, 100 balls next year. He'll get another deal. So his stock, to me, hasn't hurt. It's just the Steelers taking a hit. It makes them look really, really bad.
Yeah. Do you think, because he has made noise, obviously he's got all these list of transgressions, which we've been through ad nauseum, off-the-field stuff. But then he does this Instagram video a couple of days ago where he's talking about wanting guaranteed money. I'm not doing any unguarantees. I want guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Your experience in the NFL, what do you think scares NFL teams more? All the off-the-field transgressions or him saying he wants the rest of his non-guaranteed contract to all of a sudden be guaranteed? What scares NFL teams more?
You gave me two options. It was
all the off-the-field stuff, which is like the, you know, throwing the ottoman off the balcony and maybe pushing a woman to the ground and threatening a rider, speeding, all those things.
Being sued by two different people.
I know this sounds crazy because we're all human beings, and the answer should be an easy one, but we know how NFL teams think. They'll ignore the off-the-field stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're more scared, I think, of the salary cap than they are of the off-the-field stuff. Do you agree with that opinion, or do you think?
Oh, I agree. As long as you're a good football player, they can care less what you do on the off-the-field.
Yeah.
They'll take that risk, I should say, until they can't, until you do too much, until you do what Antonio Brown's doing to the Steelers. Okay, now it's time to get rid of you.
Right.
But they definitely care more about the salary cap hit and that guaranteed money more than anything because it's a business. That's just what it is. So,
yeah.
It's tough for me because I understand where he's coming from. He is arguably the best receiver in the NFL, right? But the way he's going about it, I feel like is all wrong. All wrong. Like, he's making himself look very, very selfish. And I don't know, it's frustrating to see because I was never that talented as he was. But for me, I would never, and it's hard to say you never, I wasn't in that position. But if I'm in a position that he's in, to be on one team for the rest of my life, a storied franchise where I can be the guy for the next 3-4 years and then hand it off to Juju and kind of window down like Hines Ward did, kind of just retire, I would do that. I think it's a perfect situation. So now he might go to another team and he can go anywhere. He can't dictate where he goes. So he can go anywhere. He can end up in
Buffalo.
Or yeah, he can go anywhere. So that's just, I don't know. The grass isn't always greener.
Yeah. I know people listening or some are thinking it, some may be texting it in right now. So I'm just going to say this very quickly and move on, I promise. But when we talk about this, it does make me think that a very good player like Antonio Brown can do all these are pretty bad things, these things in his personal life and throwing teammates under the bus publicly. And I mean, I don't think he's a good guy based on everything I know about him off the field. He'll still get paid and be treated like an elite player and perhaps bring the return of an elite player on the trade market. But if you take a knee for the anthem, you're done. I'm sorry. We're going to move on right now. I do not want to develop this into a long-form conversation. But come on. It's the elephant in the room right now when you talk about guys deserving of an opportunity. That's all.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Yep.
I know I'm not supposed
to go there.
That's fair. I mean, Colin Kaepernick did nothing off the field.
Yeah, and the speculation by people credible like...
I wonder how much money he got. I really want to
know. Oh, man, and we should talk about that.
I really want to know.
Speculation today by people like Mike Freeman with Bleacher Report, credible people, is that right now is a time where his chances of getting back in the league are better than they've ever been since he walked. Better than they've ever been. Well, number one, because the collusion grievance has been settled. He's no longer suing the league. And number two, I would have to think, especially based on the enormous numbers we're hearing, that he may have, the cash that he might have gotten in this settlement.
It would be cheap.
That he's not going to demand a lot of money. That this $20 million demand that was reported for the Alliance, I think that's, I'd be shocked if that really happened. That Kaepernick asked for $20 million to play in the Alliance. That sounds stupid. I mean, he's done and said some silly things over the years. I don't think he's that stupid. There's no way the Alliance is paying him $20
million. Yeah, I don't think
anyway,
they can afford it.
Like I said, I'm sorry I derailed this conversation.
It's okay. You apologized up front, so we knew it was
back
coming.
Back to what we want to talk about.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes,
Cecil. Yeah, if you were the Texans, would you trade for Odell Beckham Jr.?
What would I give up for him?
If you had to give up what they were reportedly being bandied about last year with the Rams, obviously it starts with a first and then a mid-round pick.
So I have a chance to give a first and a mid-round pick. So I get to keep Will Fuller?
You get to keep Will Fuller. Is it overkill at the wide receiver position to still have Will Fuller? Would you rather Will Fuller be in the deal than a first-round pick?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd rather have Will Fuller in the deal than a first-round pick.
Have you seen Beckham's contract?
I have.
That's a lot to inherit.
It's a lot to inherit, but he's a very young man. Very, very, very young. And to have him and Hopkins in their prime together, my gosh, that can be super special. With Kiki in the slot, that can be something very serious that we might not ever see in the NFL. I mean, that goes like the Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce days. You know what I mean? That goes with – so would I trade for him? No, I wouldn't. But I would look at the opportunity.
Yeah.
I would see what they would give. But I wouldn't – if I'm Brian Gain, I wouldn't trade for him. I don't know if he's humble enough right now to be – because to me, he'll be the number two here.
That's a good point.
He's not going to be the number one.
That's a good point. Yeah, we're talking about these big names opposite DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, you know, Antonio Brown didn't like Juju Smith-Schuster winning team MVP.
He was throwing fits. Right. He was throwing fits.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you got to be humble as a football player, period. But to Odell and Antonio, you're the guy in your city that you are in now.
And you got
to
consider that. If you're a team trading for them, they've got to you've got to kind of cater
as they both are.
Cater to their diva qualities.
All right, so if you wouldn't necessarily be hot to pursue Odell Beckham Jr., would you be making an offer to free agent Le'Veon Bell if you're the Texans?
Yeah. Yeah, cuz Le'Veon can bring more to the table than just a running back. He can be your third receiver. So if say Will Fuller gets hurt, Kiki gets hurt, guess what? You can put Le'Veon in the slot.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You can throw Le'Veon in the ball. So now, I mean, look at the Saints. They had Michael Thomas. That was their only real receiver they had. But guess what? Alvin Kamara was there in the slot as well.
Yeah,
Kamara was used in different ways. And you had Mark Ingram in the backfield. So I would, if I was them, I would go after Le'Veon. But I don't know if I would get rid of Lamar. I would need somebody else besides Le'Veon in that backfield.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to spend on two guys in the backfield.
It is a lot of money. Maybe you cut him and ask him, or ask him to take reconstruct his contract from last year or something.
And Lamar's got 1 year left, right?
You got 1 year left.
You need somebody that you can trust to spell Le'Veon in that backfield.
All right, let's spend the last few minutes we got with you here. Speaking of the running back position, rapid firing, five running backs that you, because your wide receiver list was very well received by the people because it was very well thought out, and I thought all the options on there made sense, despite what Mike Meltzer thinks of Jermaine Kearse of the New York Jets.
He's a little biased.
So who would be your five running backs? If you were advising Brian Gain and the Texans, who would you have on your board for free agent running backs that you would look at?
Well, one of them is Le'Veon Bell. We just talked about it.
Who's
the best back in the league at the time. And I was iffy on this. I think earlier in the year when we were at the TriStar situation,
TriStar show
over in NRG Park. Mm-hmm. But if you can get your hands on Le'Veon, he is so special. And then in the offense that O'Brien wants to run is very similar to New England. You can put him in a slot. You can put him out wide, and he'll be a threat. Whereas Lamar Miller right now, you put him out wide, nobody's really going to pay attention. He's not really a threat.
Hasn't stopped him from doing it.
All his catches are check down. Not really a threat. So Le'Veon Bell, who was the best back in the league a year ago, I guess he's a year ago or 2 years ago?
Well, 2 years because he skipped this past season. Yeah.
He would be an option. I got Darren Sproles.
Okay.
Darren Sproles, an oldie but a goodie.
He's electric.
Oldie but a goodie. He is somebody
as long as you don't ask him to do too much.
And my next four are guys that I would keep. Lamar Miller. So I'm keeping Lamar adding these
so
guys.
So Bell is
too.
A feature back, obviously. These are all guys who would compliment Miller. Okay, Sproles is a good one, yeah.
Sproles, I think, is perfect. He's a third down back. He's a situational back. He can come in. He can and you're in a matchup type offense. He can do what a James White does. He can do what whoever else they have out there in New England does. He can make plays in the backfield and outside the backfield.
So for how long? How old is that guy?
Well, put this in mind. You still have Deontay Foreman, who has shown flashes of being able to go in a slot and make plays.
Yeah,
catch the ball at the backfield.
And I think the guys you're talking about, these aren't guys where you go, well, he's going to be a foundation guy for the next 5 years. I'm just talking 2019 and maybe 2020. And I think Sproles killed the Texans in week 16 this year.
He killed
absolutely.
Him.
Who's
had
next?
A nice touchdown and broke some tackles on us.
He did.
Spencer Ware from Kansas City. Now, Spencer Ware, we got to remember, when Jamal Charles left town, he was the guy that was next up. He was the starting running back in Kansas City the year they drafted Kareem Hunt. He ended up getting hurt. Kareem Hunt took over. We never heard of Spencer Ware again until this year when Kareem Hunt got in trouble.
And he got hurt again, Spencer.
He got hurt again, and he didn't have this opportunity.
But with that being said, he's a guy that can spell Lamar Miller. He's a guy that you can put outside, that can catch, does an awesome job with the screens. He's really good in between the tackles and outside. I think he can be a guy when healthy, and he wouldn't be dependent on too much because you got Lamar Miller,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yep.
So I think he's a guy that can help. Tevin Coleman, I think he's been a popular name.
Love this one.
He's a super fast guy. He had 8 total touchdowns last year, 800 yards rushing in a situation where who's the starting running back in Atlanta?
Devontae Freeman.
Yep. He was in and out of injury. Then once he went down, and Tevin never had a whole lot of carries in his career there. So he's still fresh. he's still very fresh and very young as a running back. So
I love that one.
I love him. He's super fast. He can make a lot of plays, again, in the slot, outside, and from the backfield. Mm-hmm. You have to be a smart player to play with O'Brien. You have to be a versatile running back to play, especially in nowadays. The more you can do as a running back, the longer you'll last, right? Because if you're just a bruiser, you'll be out in 3 years. You got to be able to last long. And lastly, T.J. Yeldon, who I got, has 171 catches in his time in Jacksonville. 171 catches. No,
you weren't there in Jacksonville the same time as him. Okay.
I missed him. I think I was the year I left. They might have picked him up or maybe 2 years after
that. Yeah, drafted him from Alabama. Maybe 2 years after. He has 171 catches in his time there?
171 catches.
Interesting.
That's a lot of good options there.
A really good job. And he's kind of the poor man's Le'Veon Bell, per se.
Okay.
As far as his body style,
yes,
how he kind of runs the ball. Not as good, obviously, but he can be a guy that can complement Lamar Miller.
But to be clear, in a perfect world, if you had the opportunity, you take Bell over all those complimentary
Le'Veon's
guys.
My guy. So yeah, these four, those four would be compliments. Le'Veon, he is the guy.
Caveat noted.
There you go.
That's a good list, man.
This is all with Deontay Foreman. You hoping he comes along?
Of course,
right. Want him to eventually probably be the guy.
Yeah, you're not giving up on Foreman in any of these scenarios.
He almost feels like Fuller to me at this point. If he's healthy for a full season, it's a bonus.
Yeah.
Cecil Shorts, great stuff as always.
No, thanks, fellas.
Phenomenal.
Really good hour. Thank
always
you.
A lot of fun.
Yep. We will see you next Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks,
Cecil Shorts,
luck.
Former Texans wide receiver, joining us on the show. Great stuff as always.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.